careful attention to God's own word. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what it was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water from the flint, from the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power and gets wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So far the reading of God's word.
Please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. It is a passage we know well, but it is, of course, a very difficult one to put into practice. And it certainly relates to the sermon and the theme of dependence. So Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you will put on. There's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. So, boys and girls, you don't see, when you watch the birds outside, you don't see them all worried and stressed out, do you? You don't see them all furrowed in their brows. No, because God feeds them, and God's teaching us as well that we can depend on him and we don't have to stress out either. Well, brothers and sisters, some time ago, an inspiring movie came out called Unbroken, and it follows the story of Louis Zamperini. The movie's a story of resilience and determination and courage, because, you know, his plane is shot down in World War II. He is lost at sea, and he finds himself in a Japanese prison of war camp. The movie portrays that he is unbroken by it all. A very inspiring movie, no doubt. And of course, there's a whole list of movies that have that same sort of theme, the theme of grit and determination and independence. I have in the past watched those movies, don't tell the elders of the church, but I have in the past watched those Rocky movies, same sort of theme. You know, grit, determination. However, there's a problem with all these sorts of movies. The problem is not the determination, because that's a good thing, right? The problem is not with the courage, because we could do with more of that today. Do you know what the problem is? They sort of cultivate this picture of the ultimate self-made, self-reliant man or woman, if that be the case. As one writer puts it, how very tempted we are to think that we are in control, that we are gifted enough, hard-working enough, and rich enough to tackle any problem. Why is this a serious problem? Because it is. You see, there's not one single moment in life in which we're not reliant on God. Self-reliance is an evil deception, because we're not independent, in control, self-made and self-reliant. We are completely dependent on God. In fact, we're so dependent on God that every day we've actually got to come back to him and ask him again, give us this day our daily bread. So what we're going to see this afternoon is that since God provides all, we need to daily depend on him. Now, before we look at the heart of this request, I'm just going to highlight some significant context to the request, because it comes in a particular context in the Lord's Prayer. As we've already seen, the first three requests are very much concerned with God and his glory. This provides an important context for this fourth request. See, the fourth request has to do with our needs. So to put it differently, the first three are the you requests, and then the next three are the me requests. The first three about God, and then the next three about us. And there are two very important truths that flow from that connection and from that context that we may miss. One is that God's glory is paramount. We've already seen that. Hallowed be your name. And boys and girls, what's the next one? Your kingdom come, and I can't hear you, your will be done. So God's glory is paramount, which of course means, it's not rocket science, our needs are secondary. Let me put the principle differently. God must always be honored, even at the expense of our life, our earnings, our health, our house, our safety, and any of our comforts and conveniences. So it's not right for someone to steal if they're hungry. It's not right for someone to sell their bodies to pay the bills, because God's glory is paramount. God's requests come before ours. But in saying that, there's another important truth. God also cares for our physical well-being. His glory is not usually at the expense of our physical well-being, thankfully. He graciously cares for our daily necessities. In Mark 5, you might know the story when Jairus' daughter is she's dead, and Jesus comes. And when he arrives on the scene, there's wailers and there's mourners, because that's what they did in those days, go and pay a bit of money and get people to join in the whole mourning of someone dying. And so they're wailing and mourning. There's a whole commotion going on. But then Jesus says to this girl, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she gets up. He raises her from the dead. But do you know what else Jesus says to her? Or to those that are there? He says, "Give her something to eat." Did you notice that? Notice how God cares for us, both body and soul. Some religions, like materialistic atheism, only care about the body. The mantra of our culture is pretty much eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Other religions go the other way, and they only sort of care about the soul. And so if you get into the Eastern religions, it's just all about, well, nirvana and being released from the body. And even some Christians in church history sort of got things a little bit out of whack on that as well. There was a monk called Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the greatest Christians of his time, actually, one of the most famous monks of the Middle Ages. Many, many good things to learn from him. But he advised those coming into his monastery to leave their bodies at the door. In other words, they should give up the desires of their body. But that's not right, because biblical Christianity is concerned for people's body and soul. And one day we'll be resurrected, body and soul. So give us our daily bread shows God's care for the body. After all, we need our bodies to be able to perform our kingdom tasks. Interestingly, in Genesis 1, God called mankind to have dominion, and then the very next verse actually says that he provided, you know, fruit trees and seed and plants and so forth. So God gave them the calling, and then they get a feed to be able to do it. We have a kingdom calling. The Lord's Prayer has already made that very clear. We have a kingdom calling, and now God asks us to pray for the necessities to make it happen. We eat so that we can worship. So there's just a few principles that come out from the context of where this request is. But now we're coming to the central issue and what the main point of this request is. What's the heart of the matter? Well, since God provides all, we ought to daily depend on Him. In a word, this request is all about dependence. That's the key word tonight. The first thing we see is that we are dependent on God as the provider. In 2013, a British survey found that almost a third of the country's primary school children thought that cheese grew on plants. And a quarter of them thought that fish fingers came from chicken or pigs. Although you could be forgiven for that one, because you never know what's in fish fingers, do you? But boys and girls, you know where cheese comes from, don't you? Oh, from milk. Where does the milk come from? The cow. And who made the cows? God. So there's two answers, isn't there? Cheese comes from the cow, but ultimately it all comes from God, doesn't it? And flesh that out a little bit more. How did we learn to milk the cow? Who gave us the abilities to milk the cow? God did. Who gave us the brains to be able to turn milk into cheese? God did. It all comes back to God in the end. The fourth request then is an acknowledgement that God provides everything. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice the word give. Reminds us from the outset where we find the source of provision, namely God. God is our provider, Psalm 145, 15 and 16. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is the provider of every good thing. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And if God withholds his hand, everything would come crashing down, wouldn't it? This is what David actually found out at one point in his life. One moment in his life, he was the self-made man. Comes out in Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verse 6. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. You feel like that sometimes? It's the feeling not only that you're on top of everything, but you're on top of everything because you're so good. You've got it all together. You're in control. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Next moment, it all came crashing down. The psalm goes on to say, you hid your face. I was dismayed. Sums it up. God hid his face. It all falls to pieces. That could just as easily be you or I. So we're taught in this request to rely totally on God. Our good heavenly Father from whom every good gift is provided. And so we're taught, give us this day our daily bread. Now it all seems very straightforward enough if you've been a Christian for a while. However, do we really see ourselves as dependent? See, the culture says we must be independent. But that's a misnomer, isn't it? No one can be truly independent. Of course, I'm not talking about, you know, teaching children to make their own beds and do all that sort of stuff and be a bit independent and not expect mummy and daddy to get the silver spoon out. So I'm not talking about that sort of independence. I'm talking about, you know, we can just do everything ourselves and we don't need God. See, the fact of the matter is we're all dependent creatures. Just as a baby bird holds its beak open to receive the food from its mother, so we must look to God and pray, give. We must pray, give. Because boys and girls, as we looked at before, where does the cheese come from? Well, ultimately comes from God. Everything comes from God. Now notice what we're asking God to give. Give us this day our daily bread. What exactly is considered bread? Sometimes the Bible uses synecdotes. Synecdotes? Anyone come across that in their schooling yet? Synecdotes. We use them all the time, actually. Just don't know the technical term. But for example, all hands on deck. What does that mean? You expect the sailors to cut off their hands and just chuck them on deck? That's not what it means, is it? It means the hands represent the whole person. You want the sailor up on deck. So if a young person comes to you and says, well, I'm going to buy a set of wheels. What, you just want the tires? No, of course, they want a car, you see. So something of that thing becomes a symbol for the whole. And bread becomes a symbol then for everything else, necessities-wise. So we actually use the term in the same way. We say, I work to put bread on the table. And of course, we mean a lot more than that. So, what sort of necessities could you pray for? Let me quote Martin Luther's extensive list just to get our minds thinking for a moment. He says, all that pertains to nourishment and needs of the body, as drink, food, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, cattle, money, property, pious husband or wife, pious children, pious servants, pious and faithful rulers, good government, good seasons, peace, health, education, honour, good friend, trusty neighbours, and the like. So bread becomes a symbol for all the necessities that we need each day. Now, there may be some argument over what's a necessity and what's not, but what is clear then is this prayer is about our needs and not our greeds. This prayer is not, give us this day our daily cappuccino. It's a prayer about our needs. And so what this prayer actually does is bring a bit of perspective to our daily living. Truth be told, we do live in quite the affluent bubble at times, don't we? It's not to say that everybody has it easy. There are people on Struggle Street, we know that. But overall, we got it pretty good. In our society, we complain about food prices, but no one is starving. We complain about petrol prices, but we still don't have to walk to work. And of course, there was even a news story complaining about the price of coffee. In contrast, you might remember some months ago we supported food packages for India and for the mission field in India. And that situation was pretty dire as a result of COVID. Many of the workers were day labourers, so to stop working meant no income. And we watched a video in church one morning about their situation and about their dire situation, and there was a line in that video. A comment they made, and a comment that comes up frequently from that context. They said, I'd rather die of COVID than starvation. So you see, we got it pretty good. This prayer provides a bit of perspective. It teaches us moderation. You might remember in Proverbs 30, 8 and 9, it says there, give poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And not only moderation, but also generosity. It says give us. So not give me, but actually give us. The concerns of the prayer are not simply me, myself and I, but us. It points us actually in the direction of asking for provision for our church family. It assumes generosity, because obviously some will be given more to be able to share. It's not wrong to have wealth, of course, but there's a recognition here that what the Lord gives is not just for me. We're asking for us and for the well-being of us. As 1 Timothy 6:17 says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy, that to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share. And so we pray, give us our daily bread. And finally, notice that we are to daily depend on God. So the key word is daily. We know we are to depend on God, to do it daily. In our Bible study last week, we were discussing dependence on God because we were looking at Acts chapter 3. And a healing happens in Acts chapter 3 at the hands of James and John, and the lame man is able to walk again. And then the crowd, there's the reaction of the crowd. And the crowd look at what's happened, and the crowd begin to focus their attention on James and John. They think, well, James and John, they must have some pretty awesome power to be able to do that. And so James and John are put in that position. But what do? They actually deflected all the focus away from themselves. They deflected all the focus to the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for that man. And it raised the question in our discussion, is there anything, because James and John deflected everything away from themselves, is there actually anything we can take credit for? Anything at all? Is there anything we can take credit for? See, some Christians say, they've said, I've worked hard and I've never been on Centrelink. Never sponged off of anyone. But then, okay, let's flesh that out a bit. Who caused that person to be born in this country? Who gave that person their job? Who upheld the company of that person that they worked in? Who gave that person their gifts? Who gave that person their work ethic? Who taught that person their work ethic? Sure, work hard. The Bible says that, work hard. But thanks to God's blessing, we're not on Centrelink. Sometimes Christians say, well, I've never been sick because I've eaten so healthy. Or someone who's 80 or 90 years old might even be tempted to say, well, I've lived such a long time because of this and this in my diet or this and this exercise I did. You know, on the news, they often ask, oh, what's the secret of your old age? Now, we could be quite proud in that moment, but then let's ask the question, let's flesh it out. Who caused that person to be in a country with low infant mortality and low disease? Who caused that person to have healthy genes? Who provided the means to buy food and drink? Of course, we know we must eat healthy, but thanks to God's blessing, you and I don't get as sick as often as we do, as we could. Sometimes Christians are proud of achievement, a promotion at work, or good results at school, but who provided the educational resources? Who provided the school or the parents to educate? Who provided the intellect to learn? Who provided the opportunity to achieve? Do you get the point? Is there anything we can take credit for? The answer is no. And that's why we're called to daily depend on God. Notice the very important word here, daily. Daily. Every day we need God's blessing. Every day we need God to provide health and abilities and food and success. See, in the desert wanderings, we read from Deuteronomy 8, they were taught this lesson with the manna. They were taught every day. Boys and girls, you remember how they had to go out and collect their manna? And they didn't just do it once a week, did they? They had to go out every day and collect enough. And then on Saturday, twice as much, because they're not to collect on Sunday. Every day God was teaching them dependence. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. You see, we can work as hard as we like. We can be as healthy as we like. But unless the Lord blesses, we're doing nothing and going nowhere. So this prayer request could be far more important than we realize. Because when we hear this prayer request, we say, well, yes, I'll give thanks then for my food, and I'll pray for my food. But it's far more than that, because this is about a dependent attitude upon God every moment of every day. And so, brothers and sisters, beware of self-sufficiency. Beware of feeling secure because of your own work ethic, your own bank account, your own gifts, or your own abilities, or whatever. It can all come crashing down in a moment. And many people experience that every day. And it's a rude shock. And so God said to his people before entering the promised land, and he says to us, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. As pastor and writer Kevin DeYoung says, could it be that some of our prayerlessness is due to an attitude of self-sufficiency? Could it be that some of our worry is due to an attitude of self-sufficiency? Could it be that some of our overwork is due to our self-sufficiency? Repent of any self-sufficiency in your life or in mine, and pray in humble dependence on God. See, rather than being proudly self-sufficient, we ought to be humbly thankful. Thankful every moment for every blessing. We've always got to be like those footy players. You know, they go and score under the posts, and then they're pointing their finger up. Now, I don't know where all of them are pointing. I'm not saying they're all pointing to God, but it's a beautiful picture, isn't it, for the Christian? That every moment of every day, all the blessings we receive, we're always pointing up, just like Peter and John, they were pointing away from themselves, pointing up. And we can thank God for what he gives us, and when we do well, we can accept that praise and thank people for that praise, but then we're pointing up. Because it's all from God. Psalm 136, verse 1, the Sunday School children are learning this one. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and he's giving us blessings every moment of every day, because every moment we have a breath, we are blessed. And so in conclusion, give us this day our daily bread is a stark reminder to pray. God is the provider of everything. We rely on his provision every day. Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. The simple act of prayer for 5 minutes or 50 minutes, whatever it be, is the surest sign of our humility and dependence on God. So what seems to be an easy prayer request is not easy at all, because it's calling for this attitude, this daily attitude of total dependence on God. Independency is a delusion. Even the hardcore atheist depends on God for life and breath. As one writer says, no one can say, look how successfully I've been to take care of me without any outside assistance. That's a load of rubbish. Sometimes an unbeliever will even say, well, I don't need God. Glad you're happy, glad you've got your crutch, but I don't need God. Well, what a foolish thing to say when your next breath comes from God, and when you can achieve nothing without God's common kindness every day. So what does this prayer request look like in practice? Just quickly, as we've seen in the Lord's Prayer, there are many spiritual things we can pray for. We can pray for God's glory, his kingdom, and his will to be done. We can pray for our own spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of others. We can pray for missionaries on the mission field. We can pray for Jesus to come again. We can pray for the strength of the church. We've seen that in those three prayer requests. But we can also pray for bread, for a meal, for a sore toe, for surgery, for a good day's schooling, and so on. We can bring the mundane before God. For in doing so, we recognize he is the provider. He is the God who says, give her something to eat. And he is the same God who cares for you and for me. And so, trust him. May you and I live in daily dependence upon him. For he is our God and heavenly Father. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are humbled and so vulnerable, really, because you uphold all things and you do all things, and we can achieve absolutely nothing without your blessing. So we humbly come back to you and ask for your forgiveness. Forgiveness for our self-sufficiency and for our overconfidence in what we do. Lord, we thank you for all the gifts that you've granted us, especially our food every day, which we don't have to think about, the great measure of health we enjoy individually and as a congregation, the many gifts that we have among us, the abilities, the intellects, the good jobs that many of us have, the children you've blessed us with, the grandchildren, the marriages you've blessed us with, and the many blessings you've blessed us with, even as single people too, and as widows and widowers. Lord, in so many ways we are truly blessed by you, and so we thank you. We give you the praise for your loving care each and every day, and that is not even to mention what we have in Christ, that we are saved from our sin, saved from your condemnation, saved from hell and exalted to heaven. Father, we have so much to thank you for. Forgive us for our unthankfulness so often. Teach us, Lord, to be daily dependent upon you. So, as we go into this week, we do ask for your blessing, for your upholding, for your strengthening and enabling to do your work each and every day this week, and to give you the glory, for you are our God. Hear us, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.